the things that it would do. If you're involved in a lengthy conversation with one person or a group of people, I would have an algorithm in there that would look for certain words, and if it started seeing certain patterns, it would automatically time out the conversation for 15 minutes. Nobody can say anything.
Everyone just take a timeout.
15 minutes. Get up, walk away, take a few deep breaths. Then come back and think whether or not you want to keep saying what you're saying.
That is genius. I will say the other day, I got into an argument with somebody on Facebook, which every time I do that, I say to myself, like 2 seconds in, I'm like, that was a mistake. Why did you even comment? And the girl tried to report me for inappropriate content. And Facebook wrote both me and her an email saying, we've reviewed such and such user's report and deemed none of this content inappropriate. Yeah. And I was like, ha ha.
No. It would also... It immediately ban Kayla Avery every time she starts typing something. Like as soon as her finger's on the keyboard. Nope, there's another 3-day ban for you. Stop. Stop. I actually saw that she posted something the other day. I was like, oh, Kayla's back.
Yeah. And every time she posts a picture that didn't need to be taken to.
Yeah. Well, she's doing that just to mess with them at this point. And, you know, it's look, once you've been quoted in the newspapers about your problems with Facebook, don't poke the bear.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you have reached the pinnacle.
I keep posting naked pictures of myself and Facebook gets mad at me.
Here's the thing. You have reached the pinnacle of the customer service complaint when newspapers are giving Facebook bad press in your name. Doesn't go any higher than that. Yeah. That's it. You've reached, now get your problem solved. WMFO Medford, they like it when I say that. But I have zero faith that any of this is going to do anything for anybody.
Of course not. Every time Facebook does any sort of update, my reaction is always, so Facebook's bored again.
Yeah. Twitter has banned all of the alt-right people again. We'll see how long that lasts.
No, the president's still on there.
Yeah, they apparently have to let him stay on.
He can, well, shucks.
Yeah. How can you claim to be a platform that stands against hate when you let Donald Trump tweet?
Looking at you, Twitter.
Although that's hate in the name of national security. So I guess it's okay. No
one. That's what I'm going to claim from now on.
There's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
Santa's bringing you a mixed bag of weather. Everything your little heart could possibly desire. Over the next couple of days tonight, cold. Temperatures dropping all night long. If you thought it was warm today, go back in the house and put on another jacket because temperatures are dropping to the low 20s in the city. Teens.
Shite.
Out in the suburbs. Tomorrow is going to be a sunny day, but cold, high around freezing. Lows in the 20s and teens again tomorrow night. Friday, mixed bag. It's going to be in the 30s during the day. There will be snow in the afternoon, a dusting to perhaps an inch, depending on where you are. But then the temperature rises through the night on Friday. So it's actually never going to go below 34 degrees. It's going to get warmer and warmer and warmer. And by Saturday, that snow turns to rain. Highs get into the 40s. Lows above freezing Saturday night. Christmas Eve, partly cloudy. Highs in the mid-30s, lows around freezing, and then Christmas Day could be a little snow.
Mm.
Might be some light flakes floating around the area. Highs around 40 degrees, lows in the mid-20s. So it'll be cooling off, and maybe, just maybe...
White Christmas.
If you're extra nice and wish really hard, you might get a nice coating of snow on Christmas Day.
Well, I hope that the rain subsides on Saturday. It's my giant Stewart family Christmas party with almost all 22 cousins in attendance.
Yikes.
Yeah. Picture me times 22. Oh, yeah. And my mom's 5 sisters and 3 brothers and their spouses and alcohol. But every year we do what we call cousin shotgun, where all the cousins shotgun beers and race each other to see who can finish. But we have to do it outside, so that rain better stop by then.
I am glad I'm going to be nowhere near this in ways that you can't possibly imagine. WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. I'm Derek Gary. She's Shea Spillane. The phone number, 855-915-9636. On the Towel, Mikey D coming up at 9 o'clock tonight with everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. And when we come back, did you hear all the other stories that caught our attention this week?
Red light, stop. Green light, go. Every symbol has a meaning, even those symbols on the meat sold in your grocery store. I'm Sarah Beck, Consumer Meat Specialist, U.S. Department of Agriculture. The purple shield with the letters USDA and the word prime, choice, or good is your sign of quality. Quality that's been checked by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Prime means it's the top grade and usually the most expensive. Choice, the grade you'll see in most stores, is also very high in quality. If the meat has been graded for quality, you'll know that it has also passed a strict inspection for wholesomeness. You'll see the symbol for wholesomeness, a round purple inspection mark, on wholesale cuts of meat and packaged meat products. For more information on buying meat, write How to Buy Meat, Agriculture Radio, Washington, D.C., 20250.
This is Bing Crosby wishing all of you swell people a merry, merry Christmas. And a new year filled with better health, much happiness, and everything that's good.
This is the sound of salmonella gyrating on your undercooked chicken. And it looks like Mom might be taking it out a little early. Don't let salmonella get funky with your chicken. On average, 1 in 6 Americans will get a foodborne illness this year. So use a thermometer to cook each type of meat to the right temperature. Keep your family safe at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. You are listening to The Big Picture. I am Shay Spillane. With me, as always, my wonderful co-host, Derek Gary. We're going to be here with you until 9 o'clock. If you want to give us a call at 855-915-WMFO. And now for one of our favorite parts of the program called Did You Hear? Where we like to quiz each other on the various news stories from the past week. And tonight, Derek, I'm going to start us off with Uber.
Uber. Would this be the European Union Commission finding today?
Indeed it would.
That Uber is not an app. They are a transportation service.
Yes.
And therefore subject to all sorts of thorny regulation. An Uber executive called it the death of the internet, I believe.
Yes.
Mirroring the language of Nancy Pelosi with regard to the bill.
Such San Francisco grandiosity.
When did all of these little emo bitches become in charge of everything?
Right?
Will someone explain that to me?
But yes, this came as a result of basically pretty much a, what's the word I'm looking for? A complaint, almost like a boycott by the Barcelona Taxi Drivers Association.
Yeah.
They said, you can't just say that Uber can set up here. They're going to take away all of our business and they don't have the authorizations or licenses that you need to drive people around. And the head of Uber tried to say, oh, no, it's a technology service. It's not a transport company.
They've been hiding behind that one for a very long time.
Oh, yeah. And it's finally caught up. But the ruling was by a Luxembourg-based European Court of Justice. That Luxembourg tends to be kind of the we can be neutral in this situation court. But they basically said that Uber must be classified as a service in the field of transport because it is.
Yeah.
But this decision is essentially going to affect the services around the entirety of the EU. And this could mean a big change in terms of Uber being able to function. Because as a myriad of stories we've told on the show before can tell us, it's just your average Joe's picking up strangers.
Yeah.
And that's not, while it's cheaper, it's not exactly necessarily the safest or best regulated system.
They rather specifically said in the ruling that customers would not interact with these drivers unless Uber was there to provide the drivers.
Yes.
Ergo, you're a transportation service. Let this be the thing that murders the gig economy.
Well, exactly.
Which is so bad for workers, it defies, not quite as bad as being a contract driver for Amazon, which should also be illegal. But in terms of, hey, I volunteered to be oppressed by the man, which is a philosophy toward employment that I do not understand. Mm. This sets that back quite a bit.
Well, and I love the basic thoughts of the court, where were it not for the fact that there was this app, you would never be outside of a bar, have a random dude in an unmarked car come up to you and say, hey, need a ride where you're going? You would never be like, yeah, totally.
Well, you would. I wouldn't. Random guys never drive up to me and offer me a ride, but you, well, I'm sure.
How cute's the random guy?
Yeah, exactly.
But the point being that it's, and I mean, as much as, don't get me wrong, if this ends up having a worldwide spread, you know, scope, in a pinch, Uber is a lot cheaper than taking a taxi. But at the same time, you know, I can't, it's like you said, it's, they're finally, things are finally catching up with them.
Name the last time you got raped by a cab driver.
Yeah, good point. Yeah. Well, then, honestly, do you know who's been hurt the most by Uber? It's gypsy cabs. When I lived in the Bronx, we very often
that's fine.
Employed the gypsy cab.
I have no issues with the gypsy cab going out of business. Because they can go drive for Uber if they want to.
That's fair. Actually, I'm pretty sure probably every New York gypsy cab driver now is an Uber driver.
Yeah. Yeah. Tavis Smiley.
Oh, I read about this. Where is it? Nope.
Well, he got bounced from PBS over sexual misconduct allegations.
There's so many of those. I have trouble keeping track of who works for what.
But unlike everybody else, Tavis has gone on the offensive. And speaking to various media outlets over the last few days, he has said PBS better hire him back or he's going to sue them. And waste millions of taxpayer dollars as PBS attempts to defend itself against him. Tavis Smiley maintains that he had a series of consensual relationships with his underlings. PBS says, you can't do that and be our employee. Tavis Smiley says, lots of people date at work.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Well, I love, too, that it's great that it's PBS.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, it's funded by blah, 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 and viewers like you.
Walmart apparently had pulled their sponsorship of Tavis Smiley over this.
I mean, and this is, again, where, and it depends, it depends on their, because, you know, typically a... your average corporation, any sort of large company is going to have rules that you have to sign in your contract pertaining to, you know, superior and subordinate affiliations.
Listen, the guy's been doing this show for a couple of decades. If you date one coworker during that time, all right, we can more or less assume that the odds of you falling in love with somebody that you work with and having that person reciprocate those feelings over a period of years is pretty, you know, with all the people coming and going, the odds of that happening once are pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I could accept twice, but this apparently involves a large number of people. And by that point, it starts to look like you're basically picking your romantic partners out of whoever's on your staff at the time, and that's not a perk of the job.
I would say, and that's, I mean, and theoretically, much like in any professional environment, even if it wasn't necessarily forced upon them, it is the dynamic of, like I said, superior and subordinate.
Yeah.
Your superior comes on to you, and you're trying to make it in this very difficult business. It's difficult to say no.
And you
worry that there's going to be some. That's the thing with the Louis C.K. thing, where I remember my cousin saying to me, she's like, you know, this woman could have just said no, or could have like told him to go screw himself, or should have. And I was like, but it's different in our line of work. It's first of all, it's not like there's like a million opportunities out there where you can just say, screw you and move on to the next company. It was such a huge shot for you to even be put in this uncomfortable situation.
Yeah.
Like, you got such a lucky break that resulted in you being in this situation. That's where all these gray areas come in, especially because this sort of behavior has been accepted in the entertainment industry for years. And I'm not saying things like rape or sexual assault, but I'm saying in general, just the man in the higher position taking advantage of the fact that he's the man in the higher position and how he relates to the female and the lower ones.
Here's the thing. If your name is on the show, it was the Tavis Smiley show.
Yeah.
If your name is on the show, you may not be the person in charge, but you are the paycheck. Mm. You are the source of revenue that everyone else is relying on.
Yeah.
Because
if
you're not there, there's no more show.
Yeah.
And that creates an immediate power imbalance with everybody. So you absolutely should not be getting romantically involved with people working for you. Because what you may see as consensual, and she's attracted to me because, you know, I'm the guy, I'm Tavis Smiley, is actually maybe her sitting there saying, I got to keep a roof over my head. And if I got to sleep with the boss to do that, all right, I can do that. By the way,
Mr. Smiley acknowledged he has had multiple sexual encounters with employees on Good Morning America and then struggled to recall the number of current employees with whom he has had sex.
Yeah.
Which contradicts his Facebook post from last week saying he only had one previous relationship with an employee. He even told viewers, quote, I don't know where your heart's going to lead you. PBS is certain that it should not lead to multiple sexual relationships between the owner of a company and subordinates over many years, particularly where employment decisions may be linked to sex.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to win this one, but he's not going down without a fight.
I was going to say, I mean, he is going down swinging.
Ian McKellen, by the way, in an interview with, I'm trying to remember who it was. I think it might have been The Guardian or The Times of London. Or somebody was talking about his early years in acting and said that actresses, when they were applying for roles in the theater, would send in headshots. And some of them would have the phrase, director's rights respected, written at the bottom of the headshot, which was basically a signal to the director.
Like, I'll casting couch it.
That I will sleep with you if you cast me. And he said this was not...
Hey, thanks for setting us up so well, ladies of the past.
And
he said
this was not an uncommon experience in the 1960s.
That's so crazy. My goodness.
This is how we get here, kids. This is how we wind up at this point.
Milwaukee priest.
No idea.
A Roman Catholic priest in Milwaukee has come out as being gay, writing that he will no longer live in the shadows of secrecy and plans to be as authentic to his gay self. The Reverend Gregory Greiton first disclosed his sexual orientation publicly on Sunday to the St. Bernadette Parish and was greeted with a standing ovation from his parishioners. He also wrote a column that was published Monday in the National Catholic Reporter. It's very rare for a priest to come out. He said he revealed his sexual orientation because he wants to be a role model for others. He said he's helping to break the silence of gay men in the clergy so he can reclaim his own voice. He met with the Milwaukee Archbishop Jerome Listecki before coming out, according to an archdiocese spokeswoman. And Listecki said in a statement Monday, quote, We support Father Greiton in his personal journey and telling his story of coming to understand and live with his sexual orientation. As the church teaches, those with same-sex attraction must be treated with understanding and compassion. I'm very happy for this man.
Cardinal Law read that story and passed dead away.
I was going to say, I think this may have led to the death of Cardinal Law, because that it just kills me that, and I think it's wonderful that it's, you know, it's one of those, like, so many priests in the past have been like, this dude is definitely gay.
Well, we know what Eel Poppy says about it. You can be gay, you can be Catholic, you can be in the church, you can get communion, you can go to mass, you can do all this. You just can't be practicing gay.
I'm going to say you can't act on it.
Right. And if you're a priest, you're not supposed to be practicing anything.
Yeah.
So in theory, this guy should be fine, and it should be.
I'm gonna say he's technically, if he's there, yeah. It's like that's the thing. As long as he's not, but it really reading. As the church teaches, those with same-sex attraction must be treated with understanding and compassion. That's not the Catholic Church that I was raised in. And it's part of why I left.
Well, this is what Francis has been doing.
Yeah.
You know, this has been a big but part. And the ultra-conservative Catholics over in the Vatican and around the world are furious about this. Mm-hmm. Because he's basically saying, you know, welcome in the gays, welcome in the people who were divorced,
yeah.
and let's stop. You know, let's stop living like it's the 16th century. And they're all like, you're destroying dogma. And it's like, and Francis is basically sitting there saying, what dogma am I destroying? Where is this written?
Yeah.
What well, God tells us to do this, not what you want to do.
Well, and just, it bothered his words were chosen so carefully. You know what I mean? And honestly, I think I've talked about when I stopped being Catholic, I officially decided I was no longer Catholic. It was in 2004 when the marriage equality bill passed in Massachusetts, and my school sent home these letters that we were supposed to give to our parents, and the president of the school, who was a nun, signed the seal and said, don't open this. Just give this to your parents. And I was like, I'm going to be 18 in like 2 months.
Yeah.
I'm totally opening this.
I'm not your
this.
Secret messenger.
Yeah, like I'm
here?
Absolutely opening this. And it was a letter urging our parents to explain the evils of homosexuality to us.
Evils.
And to encourage us to picket outside the state house to overturn this new law. And I remember sitting there reading that and being like, and this came from the Archdiocese of Boston and was being distributed to all of the Catholic schools. And I remember reading this and just being like, I big fat don't follow this religion.
Yeah.
Like, I am not a member of this club.
Here's some reality. Here's a little bit of history that you're not going to find shared widely, even though it is widely accurate. The Bible, the Quran, not so much the Torah, but the Bible and the Quran are books of war. They are holy books, but they are also books that teach their readers how to be a warrior on behalf of their religion.
Mm-hmm.
And because they are books of war, and because they were written at a time when there were far fewer people in the world, and sheer force of numbers could determine the outcome on a battlefield, they contain very heavy prescriptions against anything that does not result in manufacturing more warriors for the cause.
Oh, yeah.
That's where all of this comes from. We now live on a planet that is closing in on a population of 10 billion that it cannot feed, that it cannot shelter, that it cannot care for. And the only reason we're not at 10 billion is because we have so much war going on that we're busy killing each other all day long and keeping the population down. Not to mention all the poor people who just die outright because they don't get food or medical care.
So mission accomplished, Bible and Quran.
We don't need any of the prohibitions to create more warriors.
Yeah.
In fact, we don't need more warriors.
Yeah.
We need less warriors.
Well, that's what I always say, is that religion tears more people apart than it brings together.
Well, that's on one level, if you understand the Old Testament, because this is much more prevalent in the Old Testament and the Quran than it is in the New Testament. That's what it's telling you to do. It is telling you that you, as the recipient of the word of the prophet or the word of God, are superior to all others. You must share this knowledge with them. You must give them the gospel. You must preach. And if they do not listen to you, you
go
should
on.
Behead them.
Yeah.
And go find someone else who will listen.
Oy.
Yeah. Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Amtrak.
The train in Washington?
Yeah. Yeah.
Three people died?
Three people dead, 70 injured. This was the inaugural run. This was the...
I was going to say of that train track, right?
The maiden voyage of a new high-speed train between Seattle and Portland entered a 30-mile-an-hour curve doing 80 miles an hour. And the train... Not the train applied the emergency brakes right around the time of the crash. They're not in the reporting that I've read, they haven't said whether it was immediately before the crash or as the crash began. Mm. But the train turned on its emergency braking system. They believe that the operator may have been distracted by a trainee conductor who was in the cab with the operator as part of a standard Amtrak training program, where when you have a conductor on a new route, the conductor rides with the engineer to learn about the route and the speeds and where they're going and all this sort of thing. So, bad situation.
Mm-hmm.
People die. No positive train control system. Even though it had been installed, it is not due to be operating until 2020. We have technology that will stop this.
Mm-hmm.
And because the railroads keep saying, we need more time, it has not been put in place.
The pictures are terrifying, by the way.
Yeah. When you look at those pictures, it's a miracle that more people weren't killed.
I was just going to say, it's a miracle more people, like, it's amazing that it was, I mean, I don't want to say just three, because obviously any loss of human life is devastating, but you look at these pictures, it looks like there should be hundreds of people dead.
I'd just like to be driving down the highway. You see a train coming in. No, thank you. No. God. No trains flying over my car.
My goodness. Holiday party.
Canceled? Ongoing? I have no idea.
Yes. Well, you're close to that. As awareness around sexual misconduct in the workplace heightens, companies are taking precautions to help ensure that nobody takes it too far by either limiting alcohol at each annual soiree or pulling the plug altogether.
Ew.
The 2017 Holiday Party Survey Report by HR and outplacement firm Challenger, Gray and Christmas Incorporated, found that considerably fewer businesses are having a celebration this year than last, it was 4.0% in 2016 that passed on having a holiday party versus 11.3% this year. Those that are carrying on with the tradition may be leaning toward a sober affair, with 48.7% saying they'll serve booze, which is down from 61.9% last year. And in this bullish economy, it's not money, it is concern over bad employee behavior amid the Me Too movement.
Can't you just sign a waiver on your way in that's like, I indemnify the company and everybody from any groping that may occur after my seventh eggnog?
And it's funny is the wrong word, but I can't think of a better one right now. But it is funny how just so much of our lives, of the news cycle of decisions that are being made, of behavior particularly in the last few months, has been surrounding sexual misconduct when, you know, as recently as a year or two ago, it was the Cosby story breaking was the first big, like, oh shoot, we have to address this now. Like, it used to be something that we, for the most part, unless it was something really blaring, like Bill Clinton, which even then, that wasn't considered sexual assault or sexual misconduct. That was just the president having an affair with an intern. It used to be just something that we kind of, I don't want to say brushed under the rug, but it was a non-starter. It wasn't something that we spoke about. It wasn't something that was a front lines issue, if you will.
Here's the thing.
And now everything is about it. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but it's funny how, like I said, the floodgates opened.
If this kills the company Christmas party, nothing of value will be lost. Nothing of value will be lost.
I love company Christmas parties.
No. Go out and drink with your coworkers.
Well, that's
if you want to have a good time. Don't do it with the boss in the room. Don't have it be this big company-sponsored function or whatever. Because what you do on your own time is what you do on your own time. You can't harass your coworkers on your own time either, by the way. But from the corporate perspective, there's a difference between, well, we created this environment and implicitly encouraged this behavior to, we don't know what they do when they leave here. We didn't know they were all shooting crack in the parking lot.
You don't shoot crack, Derek.
We can't stop that.
You smoke crack. You shoot heroin. Not that I don't know. I read books about it.
No. Eminem.
The candy or the rapper?
The rapper.
The rapper. His new album stinks.
Yeah, well, we know that.
Beyond that, I don't know.
Claimed in an interview with Vulture on Monday that he uses both Tinder and Grindr as dating apps. The Grindr thing caught a lot of people's attention because that's an app that is favored by gay men.
Is not even favored by it. It is specifically for gay men.
Yes, which has a lot of people wondering if Marshall Mathers was admitting something after all of these years, or simply making a funny. His people say he was making a funny.
He could have also been. I mean, Eminem is how old?
Because he's like around my age. He's like in his 40s. 41.
He could have also honestly been messing up. Like, he could have meant to say Tinder and Bumble. You know what I mean? Like, he could have just been messing up the name of the app that he's
using. He pretty specifically said Grindr in the interview, and it wasn't something that you'd just sort of pull out of thin air accidentally.
He was my favorite during high school. The Eminem Show.
Good album.
It's an excellent album.
New one? Not so much.
Yeah, I haven't. Do you know, I actually haven't even listened to it because I love Eminem so much that all of the negative reviews I've seen about it, I was like, I don't want to love Eminem next, Eminem less because of his whatever failure this is. Atlanta.
Georgia. The airport had no power for 11 hours. There was a substation fire. We don't know what caused it. No power at the airport for 11 hours. Here's what I don't get. Why can't you get people the hell off of those airplanes so that they're not stuck sitting on an airplane for 8 hours?
I do not know.
What?
Well, it's supposedly...
Why? How does this happen?
Supposedly there was a meltdown on the transformer which caused a fire, so they claimed it was a safety hazard to have them come into the airport. But both the...
Is the transformer in the middle of the runway?
Fair point. But the airport and the utility company, which is Georgia Power, are being criticized for this is very much a, come on, guys, this is just general planning.
Yeah.
The backup infrastructure for in case a transformer exploded and made them lose power was right next to the transformer that exploded and made them lose power. So therefore...
So when it blows up, the backup blows up.
The backup blows up too.
Yeah.
Luckily, nobody was hurt, but it did. The Atlanta mayor, Kasim Reed, said in a news conference that some 30,000 passengers at the airport were affected, but airline data analysts said that that's just a fraction of the total. With Patrick Surrey, who's chief data scientist at Hopper.com, estimating that roughly 209,000 people had their trips disrupted, and this is based on the number of flights that were scheduled to either arrive or depart, and the average load factor, which is the percentage of the seats on the plane that are full.
This is expected to keep rippling through air travel through tomorrow.
Oh, yes. Well, exactly, because these are people who ironically were trying to get out of town and leave early for their holiday plans to avoid the just before Christmas travel boo hockey and rigmarole.
Yeah.
And are now going to have to reschedule their flights, which is going to bump people who were on the later flights, which is going to then bump people who are on the flights the day before Christmas, which is, so basically, Atlanta's poor, or I'm sorry, I shouldn't blame the entire city of Atlanta. Atlanta International Airport's poor infrastructure planning is going to cause hundreds of thousands of people's holiday plans to be completely mucked up.
I'd say take an Amtrak, but Monday...
Yeah, I was going to say, we are not having a good week for transportation, are we?
Stay home. That's my advice. Yeah. Stay home.
There's Christmas Story on TBS all day.
Yeah. Whatever.
Whatever, that's your...
Whatever.
What?
Whatever.
I was going to say, is Clueless going to be on? I don't know.
Marist College does a poll every year of the most annoying words. And whatever, won for the ninth straight year. 9 years in a row, whatever has been at the top. 33% of Americans hate it when people use the word whatever in conversation. More so if you are over the age of 45. We really hate it.
Do you know the funny thing about that is I purposely use whatever when I want to annoy somebody.
If you're under 45.
That's probably the only time I use it.
You may want to switch this up because if you're under 45... The most offensive phrase is, no offense, but.
oh, see, that drives me crazy too, and I would never use it.
And second place,
it's like whatever you're going to say is going to offend me.
Second place overall for most annoying word, fake news.
Well, no offense, but I like that one because it's like the cousin of don't be mad at me for saying this, but and that's like that that's like the closer friend version of no offense, but. Like, you can't get mad at me. It's like, well, I might.
Whatever.
Last one?
Yes.
Mexico.
Mexico. It's where the Fords come from. Mexico. Not on fire. Terrorist designation. No, I don't know.
Well, in keeping with our theme of transportation disasters.
Ooh. Oh, the tour bus crash.
Yes.
Yeah. Now it comes back to me.
Yes. Three members of an American family were among the 12 people killed when a bus flipped over during a day trip to the Mayan ruins in southeastern Mexico yesterday. The crash claimed the lives of Anna Behar and her 11-year-old son, Daniel, both of Lorton, Virginia, and his 78-year-old grandmother, Fania Chamis, of Coconut Creek, Florida. Anna Behar's husband, Moises, and their son, David, who was 15, were injured in the wreck. Other identities and ages of those killed were not immediately released, but officials say five other Americans died, as well as two Swiss nationals, one Canadian, and the tour's Mexican guide. About 20 people on the bus were injured, and several were in stable condition. The driver was also injured in the crash and detained for questioning. The bus was carrying cruise ship passengers when it ended up on its side in vegetation along a two-lane road. Video taken after the crash showed some survivors lying on the pavement and others walking around trying to help them. Investigators were working to determine the cause of the crash, which occurred as the bus was on its way to the ruins of Chacoben, about 110 miles south of Tulum.
Yeah. Sad.
So basically, based on this past week, if you have holiday plans and you need to travel, just walk.
Train, bus, plane.
All useless.
Yeah, all not good. Mm. Final one for you. Spillaccio.
It's a fun word to say.
Spillaccio.
Spillaccio. It sounds like what my last name would be if I was Italian.
Spillaccio.
Spillaccio.
You'd hope not.
Okay, then. Now you got to tell me what it is.
It is the Italian word for mangy.
Mangy?
Not manger, mangy. Like, spillaccio.
Like that is a mangy sweater?
Mangy, yeah. And it's the word being used...
Sweater was the first thing to come into my mind, but...
It's the word being used in Rome to describe the city's official Christmas tree, which some have compared to a toilet brush.
I love Romans.
Rome residents say the tree reflects the poor state of their city, with streets and public gardens in disrepair. And some have asked the tree to be exchanged with the Vatican's Christmas tree, which of course is much nicer.
Yes, I'd imagine so.
It is a cypress tree that has been described as already dead by some people. I've only seen pictures of it, but Spillaccio...
I was going to say, I have to see this.
...is not bringing the holiday cheer this holiday season. 855-915-9636. Hey, the U.S. government's been investigating UFOs with your taxpayer dollars. A little bit more about that when we come back here on WMFO. Medford.
There'll be snow at Christmas. They said there'll be peace on earth, but instead it just kept on raining, a veil of tears for the virgin birth. I remember one Christmas morning, a winter's light and a distant choir, and the peal of a bell and that Christmas tree smell, eyes full of tinsel and fire. They sold me a dream of Christmas.
they sold me a cyanide. They told me a fairy story till I believed in the Israelite. And I believed in Father Christmas, and I looked to the sky with excited eyes. Then I woke with a yawn in the first light of dawn, and I saw him in through his disguise. Pain and sadness, lead your heart and let your road be clear. They said there'd be snow at Christmas. They said there'd be peace on earth. Hallelujah, Noel, be heaven on hell. The Christmas we get, we deserve.
Soul brother number one, always fighting. Now I'm fighting for your life. I'm fighting for your life because if you use drugs, you better leave it alone. Drugs are contagious. They're killers. Every drug is a killer. Stay away from drugs. Drugs will take your life away. And if you want to live, stay away from drugs because they are super bad, super bad, super bad, super bad, super bad.
Hello, everybody. This is Peggy Lee. To all of you, a Merry Christmas and a hopeful and promising New Year.
You're not wired to have a response to this sound. You're neutral to it. You hear it every time you finish a meal and never feel anything. But if we were able to associate this sound with a new stimulus, save the food, we've achieved pulling a natural response from you. Save the food. Why are we doing this, you may ask? Save the food. Because this ad is trying to change your after-meal behavior through brainwashing. Because food waste costs the average family $1,500 a year. Save the food. Cha-ching. And $1,500 extra is like getting a pay raise. Save the food. Cha-ching.
You're promoted.
Which could pay for your child's braces. Save the food. Cha-ching.
You're promoted.
Check out my braces.
So when you hear this sound, rethink your behavior. Cook it, store it, share it. Just don't waste it. For tips and recipes, visit SaveTheFood.com. Brought to you by NRDC and the Ad Council.
Didn't know what time it was, the lights were low, oh, oh. I leaned back on my radio, oh, oh. Some cat was laying down some rock and roll, not a soul said.
WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. You are listening to The Big Picture. I am Shay Spillane. With me, as always, is Derek Gary. We're going to be here with you till 9 o'clock. If you want to give us a call at 855-915-WMFO. And tonight we're talking about UFOs. And do they exist? Do they not? It's apparently the government's been wondering the same thing. A former Pentagon official who led a recently revealed government program to research potential UFOs said Monday evening that he believes they have evidence of alien life reaching Earth.
Harry Reid was the one that started this program back in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And that was under the Obama administration where this began, and allegedly this program came to an end in 2015. Although, you know, it didn't. But they are 2000. Excuse me. Started in 2007, which was George Bush Senior, mm-hmm. Junior. Okay, it started. Let me. I don't even know where I am anymore. Program started in 2007.
Funny, you can't get your facts straight when we're talking about UFOs. Isn't that interesting?
You've got the mind control ray going on me right now. I allegedly ended in 2012.
Yes, that's when funding got cut for it.
$22 million in so-called black money was appropriated for this because Harry Reid did not want Congress to know about it. So he got his buddies on the Appropriations Committee, Ted Stevens, who was a World War II pilot, who claimed to have been followed by a UFO while he was flying in World War II,
mm-hmm.
and Daniel Inouye of Hawaii, who was also fought in World War II, and they all got together and they were like, yeah, okay, let's go investigate UFOs.
Well, and this also, there was also a retired Commander David Fravor told CNN that he had witnessed an object that looked, quote, like a 40-foot-long tic-tac while he was maneuvering rapidly and changing its direction during a flight he was on in 2004. So basically, there were a couple of pilots, which the schools of thought are very interesting on this because there are lots of pilots and Pentagon officials that have spoken to these pilots saying that the aircrafts were seemingly defying the laws of earthly aerodynamics. So that's what kind of prompted them to start putting money into this, because they said, you know, there's all these things where there seemed to be no trajectory as to what was propelling them, and yet they'd be going at speeds that a human being literally would not be able to withstand.
Now,
on the flip side of that, though, there are many studies that talk about how pilots, especially if they've been piloting several long flights, one after the other, after the other, after the other, often see things and they appear not as they actually are.
Now, there's one video that's making the rounds on YouTube right now, which shows two pilots talking to each other as they chase one of these things, which they have on camera.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't really see what it is, but it's obviously something that they can pick up on camera.
Yeah.
So that means
there is something that they're actually physically seeing.
It could be a shadow from one of the airplanes. It could be caused by sunlight bending through an unusual atmospheric disturbance.
I would say it could be like light refracting in a certain way.
Yeah. So there are a lot of things that it could be. But on the other hand, it could be Russia just came out with a new kind of bomber that can evade our radar, and they're trying to figure out how close they can get it to the United States. Or China has developed some sort of new fighter jet that they're flying back and forth across the United States, and we don't know about it. How do we know these sort of things happen? Because we had the U-2 spy plane, and we've done this, and we know that this is a goal of foreign governments, both for surveillance and offensive capability reasons.
Well, and theoretically as well, it could be the U.S. coming up with that sort of technology.
Sure.
A lot of times there isn't a lot of information sharing on sensitive projects such as something like that would be. That being said, could also be a UFO. There are several countries in the world and I don't want to say reputable countries, that sounds pompous as an American, but countries that have high education systems, that have some very smart people in them, that recognize the very real possibility that there is life on other planets, that there are, that we, and to be honest, it is, speaking of being pompous, I feel it's kind of pompous to assume that in this incredibly vast universe, we're the only ones that manage to be alive.
Yeah, but when you get budget priorities and there's no real evidence that anybody else is hanging around here, where are you going to spend your money becomes a question.
Oh, true.
However, that has not stopped Russia. That has not stopped China, Belgium, France, England, everybody, all these countries are conducting UFO research and have budgets for it and actually speak publicly about what they're doing. The United States, it has to be a black box allocation where nobody in Congress knows what's going on and nobody in the White House knows what's going on because they're afraid they're going to get laughed at.
Well, and for his part, too, the point that Commander Fravor made, who is one of the people who's said to have witnessed one of these things and was in support of this area of the Pentagon being opened and being having money spent on it. Theoretically, even though $22 million sounds like so much money to all of us, he said it was pretty much a drop in the bucket if you think about that we have over $500 billion annual budget for every branch of the military. So $22 million of $500 billion is, I mean, it's like donating a couple nickels when you could donate $50 to someone in a marathon.
It's loose change. Like,
it's
in the Pentagon
budget.
It's
the, all right, we got this important one settled. We've got this important one settled. We've got this important one settled. We've got this surplus and we want to get this money next year. Yeah. Where should we toss it?
We found this money in the sofa and we have a choice.
Exactly. We found this money in the sofa and instead of putting it in a piggy bank and having them not give us that money next year, hey, maybe there are UFOs. Let's toss it over there.
We can finance some drug dealers to give us information about arms dealers, or we can use it to investigate UFOs. I think the average American taxpayer would say, let's go investigate the UFOs. But as always, there has to be a dimension to these stories that makes them bad. Because in theory, if the U.S. government, if the Pentagon came out and said, yeah, we're investigating UFOs, because that is a national security priority for us, not just on the possibility that E.T. is going to come down and want to eat us instead of phoning home, but because we don't know what China and Russia are up to.
Yeah.
They may be developing stuff that can sneak into our country and steal our Amazon packages. And that's going to make everyone unhappy if they're doing that. So we investigate this. That's fine. But here's the problem. And there always has to be a problem. And it's always in like the seventh or eighth paragraph of the New York Times story. And in this case, this is what the paragraph says. $22 million appropriation that Harry Reid, current Senate Majority Leader, was able to get with the assistance of Ted Stevens and Daniel Inouye through, basically, they've got a little slush fund in there on the Armed Services Committee. Which is known as the black money. And you can take black money and you can put it wherever you want without telling anybody else where it's going. In this case, according to the New York Times, and I quote, most of the money went to an aerospace research company run by a billionaire entrepreneur and longtime friend of Mr. Reed's, Robert Bigelow, who is currently working with NASA to produce expandable craft for humans to use in space. I think they meant to say expendable craft to use in space and not expandable, but who knows? Most of Bigelow Airspace hired subcontractors and solicited research for the program. It set up buildings in Las Vegas to hold strange metal alloys, some of which reportedly triggered physical reactions in people who encountered them.
So... yeah, this is why I hate, I mean...
So we gave $22 million in black money that can't be traced to Harry Reid's friend. Because Harry Reid's friend was like, if you give me money, I'll go look for UFOs.
And maybe do other stuff with it, too.
And he then took that money and put up buildings in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
The UFO thing is just a smokescreen at this point. I want to know that Ted Stevens was getting a piece of this. Because I think Ted Stevens and Daniel Inouye may have been conned. They may have been legitimately duped by that mastermind, that master con artist, Harry Reid.
Well, and there is something to be said for the fact that there are, like I was reading about Luis Elizondo, who was a former Pentagon official who had led the program and left it. Because of, number one, the fact that there was so much secrecy surrounding it, and number two, these allegations that it was basically a filter through which money from the government could be used to fund these absolutely unrelated projects. But after he stepped down from the Department of Defense, he actually, I found this super interesting, especially as a 90s child. he went on to work for To the Stars Academy of Arts and Sciences, which is a company co-founded by former Blink-182 musician Tom DeLonge that says it looks into issues surrounding government secrecy as well as unidentified objects. So there is at least one person that was very, I mean, he was the head of it, that was very involved in this project, who truly believes that there was some validity to it. But the fact that this person believed there was so much validity to it and then stepped down speaks volumes.
I believe their theory or their mission in investigating this is to look at all the small things. I think that's what's... And,
yeah, I knew that song had a deeper meaning.
And I don't know this for a fact, but I'm going to go way, way, way out on a limb here and make the suggestion that if you looked into the financing of the To the Stars Academy, you will probably find the name Robert Bigelow in there somewhere as a major backer of this.
Our whole world is a giant conspiracy.
So here's the thing. Yes, I want it. Spend my taxpayer money on UFO research. Please, I want you to do it. I think it's something we should do.
It's something we should know. I mean, we put all this money into stuff that really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
We might as well put it into something like, will some odd creature come down and eat my brains because it's a delicacy on Mars? Like, let's find out.
Even at the very least, to keep an eye on what the Russians...
I can't believe that's the first thing that popped into my head.
Even at the very least, to keep an eye on what the Russians and the Chinese are doing.
Under the guise of looking for UFOs.
But let's put it out in the open and not have it be Harry Reid giving his buddy $22 million. Because that's not doing anybody any favors.
Agreed.
855-915-9636 is the phone number. It is The Big Picture on the Tell, Mikey D, coming your way in less than 10 minutes with everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. When we come back, our favorite things from the past week and the strangest things from the past week here on WMFO Medford.
This is Jim Neighbors, and I want to wish each and every one of you up there a very Merry Christmas from my heart.
If you're a single man under the age of 35, you'd probably like to know what the ladies are looking for on an online dating site. A guy who had a few drinks and later got pulled over for buzz driving. See, that could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. And doesn't a guy who's back living with his parents but calls them my roommates just scream, Mr. Right?
Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of a team. Everything is awesome when we're living our dream.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. You are listening to The Big Picture. Shay Spillane with you until 9 o'clock with my pal Derek Gary.
Yo.
We are wrapping things up, but we still have two of our favorite segments left. As of now, we've got What's Hot, which is our favorite thing from the past or coming week. And as I think I've talked to you guys about since the beginning of the season, I am a sucker for looking at pretty Christmas lights. And though I will not share the secret neighborhood I visit every year that I mentioned last week because I don't want its spot to get blown up, I did start looking into other places that I could go and discovered one I can't believe I didn't know about that's right in the heart of Boston. Apparently, there is one called Blink at Faneuil Hall.
Oh, I have a big tree.
Yeah.
Giant tree.
I say, well, this isn't just the tree. It is all over Faneuil Hall. It's 350,000 flashing LED lights that is set to music from the Hallelujah Chorus every evening through January 5th. And they have this free light show that runs about 12 times between 4:30 p.m. and 10 p.m. And as Derek just said, it's also the site of the largest Christmas tree in New England. I didn't realize that.
Which is not Spallaccio.
It is not Spallaccio. It is very non-Spallaccio. But I thought this was a great thing to share for those of you who didn't know that it was going on, because it's a great way to get like a little bit of holiday cheer without breaking the bank on fancy dinners or nutcracker tickets or what have you. And, you know, if you still need a little bit more shopping to do, they've got the shops at Faneuil Hall right there.
While you're down there, spare a thought for the employees who have to listen to that song over and over and over again through the holiday season until they just want to scream.
Very true.
But do enjoy it yourself. If you're looking for a last minute gift, this is a great idea. Amazon just released these, and you can still find them at Best Buy if you look around. This is the Echo Spot. This is a brand new Amazon Echo. Ooh. It does everything that the Echo does, but it also does everything that the Echo with the screen does, except it's a nice little round thing that will sit quietly on your night table. And it functions as an alarm clock, as a video message service, as a way to order stuff on Amazon. It does everything. And at $129.99, it is more than the Echo Mini or the regular size Echo. But because you can set it to be an alarm clock and just have the clock showing all the time and wake up and get your news and all the rest of that, this could be a very valuable addition to your home.
Yeah, it's like it's an all-in-one.
This is the next generation alarm clock with all kinds of other functionality built.